In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The introit. You, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. Collect of the day, we pray. Most merciful Father, with compassion you hear the cries of your people in great distress. Be with all who now endure affliction and calamity. Bless the work of those who bring rescue and relief, and enable us to aid and comfort those who are suffering, that they may find renewed hope and purpose. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Job chapter 30. And now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have taken hold of me. The night racks my bones, and the pain that gnaws me takes no rest. With violence it seizes my garment. It binds me about like the collar of my tunic. God has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry to you, and you do not answer me. I stand, and you do not heed me. You have turned cruel to me. With the might of your hand you do persecute me. You lift me up on the wind, you make me ride on, and you toss me about in the roar of the storm. Yea, I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Yet does not one in a heap of ruins stretch out his hand, and in his disaster cry for help? This is the word of the Lord. Reading from Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 14. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are at the light, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of life is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Reading from John chapter 9, 1 through 7. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration today is taken from the 9th chapter of St. John, the gospel text which was just read. The woman was a bit late leaving work that day. A meeting that was supposed to last about a half hour had gone over, which would normally have been no big deal. The woman did not know it yet, but this day would not end normally. Traffic was bumper to bumper as she made her way onto I-35 headed out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was a Tuesday, like any other Tuesday, August 1, 2007. It's not a new question, the question posited by the disciples of Jesus. It's a question at least as old as Job, a question that theologians still grapple with in books and podcasts. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And those disciples, they were on the right track. They knew that there was no death in paradise. And they knew that now there's quite a lot of it. They also knew that in paradise, everybody could see. And this man who was born blind, all his life he could not see, and why? You know, the most famous American blind person was not born blind. Helen Keller lost her sight and hearing at 18 months. Nor was Master Chef winner Christine Ha born blind. Both those and most who lack their senses have lost them to disease. There was no disease in paradise. But this man, he was born blind. Never once in his life had he seen one thing, and that is a result of sin. And the question is, whose sin? His or his parents? And the answer of Jesus is an emphatic neither. The discussion among the rabbis of that day would have been, it has to be one or the other. And one group would have argued that it was the sin of the parents. The other group would have argued it was the man's own sin. That's why he was blind. And you know how people be talking. One side, then the other side. And they be discussing, maybe arguing. And then there's this one guy. And he's not saying anything. And he lets them go on. One side, the other side. And when they're done, they look at him. Well, what is it? Which one of them sinned? You have two choices. And he says, neither. It was not that this man sinned. It was not that his parents sinned. Well then, whose fault was it? Wrong question. It turns out that it was the wrong question. It's not an either or, after all, it's a but. And it's an emphatic but that the works of God might be manifest in him. That's why the man was born blind. And what does that mean? And he spits on the ground, and then he took the mud made from the dirt and spit, and he rubbed it in the man's eyes and told him to wash in the pool of Siloam, and he did. And then he could see. And that's what that means, that the works of God might be made manifest or shown in him. That business of attaching specific consequences to specific sins, that's a risky business. If you voted on Tuesday in Illinois, and then you went to the Hy-Vee, and then you went over to Lowe's, and then you got sick, and you had done similar things on Wednesday and Thursday, where did you get it? It all seems so random, doesn't it? The man born blind. It all seems so random. And the woman, who was a little bit late leaving work that day, who was on the I-35 bridge when it collapsed, who was one of the 13 killed that day, it all seems so random. And the man who got out of another meeting early, who was one of the 13. The woman who called in sick that day and didn't leave her home in Maple Grove, it all seems so random, doesn't it? To us, it all seems very random. I want to talk about random. I told you people like to talk about these things. In Luke 13, we hear people asking Jesus about those Galileans killed by Roman soldiers during that riot. And the question, were they worse sinners? And that would be an easy answer. Those people killed in that construction accident at Siloam, were they worse debtors? And that would be an easy answer and easily understood. Jesus answered those questions by telling them, you need to repent. And what does that mean? A couple weeks ago, I quoted from Bill Dembski. He wrote the book Intelligent Design. I checked it out, but I'm not going to read it. It looks too much like a textbook. He started the book in the beginning by saying, quote, True fortitude of understanding consists in not suffering or allowing what we know to be disturbed by what we do not know. And to translate that and to paraphrase that, a key to understanding is to understand that you can talk about anything you want, but you can't understand everything, especially when it comes to God. But don't let that muddle your understanding of things you do know. And we know why that I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed apart. A part, it's called a gusset plate. A part that held two pieces of the trusses together. It wasn't as thick as it was supposed to be. And way too much construction materials and equipment were sitting on that bridge. We know why that bridge collapsed. The 13 who died, were they worse sinners than the rest of Minnesotans? Was it their own sin or the sin of their parents that got them killed on that day? It all seems so random, doesn't it? Bridge collapse, the coronavirus. And you know, this is nothing new. Nothing new, it's flu season. People are going to get sick. And every year, tens of thousands of Americans die of the flu. Some years are worse than others. I don't know how many of us even remember the 2009 flu pandemic, the internet calls it, the swine flu that killed 10 to 20,000 Americans. The numbers, 10 or 20,000, well, sometimes it's hard to say why somebody died. And the numbers tend to be politicized like a lot of things. Nothing new here. Nothing new here. The late Dole Hildebrandt, he was a dairy farmer in Pittsburgh, Kansas. He had a special affection for his Aunt Melinda Sandman, his mother's sister. She raised him. He told me that, and that's odd. I said, what happened? He told me that both of his parents died in the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. If you haven't heard of that, in 1918, the Spanish flu killed tens of millions of people worldwide, including killing 675,000 Americans in this country whose population at the time was only 92 million. Our population now is 3.5 times larger. So with those same percentages, that would mean 2.5 million Americans would have died. Yeah, this is nothing new. Happens all the time. So why did Dole Hildebrandt's parents die? Seems kind of random. Why both, not just one? Why not him? Why not his aunt, Melinda Sandman? This thing. This is a new thing in my lifetime. I look around and I see that this week traffic gets lighter all the time. You go into the grocery store, pallets sitting in the aisles, stockers working hard, and you still can't find everything you're looking for. That's a new thing. Schools closed, restaurants shut down. It's all they talk about on the news. Polling places open in Illinois. Churches closed by the order of the governor of Iowa. I've never seen that before. And there's a case to be made for keeping the churches open. And the case is that times like these are when we need the comfort of God's word and sacrament more than ever. I did not know of a time when churches have ever closed in this country. But Dr. Larry Rast, church historian, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, dug up some documents. And it looks like St. Louis, the city of St. Louis, ordered all churches closed in 1918. And the Lutherans complied. They closed their churches. It's what we do. And what else do we do? What else do we do while we're not going to church? The first thing, head on a swivel. We've lived in Chicago twice, and now we like to visit and then come back home. First time I lived in Chicago, I would come home on weekends. There was a girl involved. I'd take the Greyhound here, catch the red-eyed dog back on Sunday night, roll into Union Station about midnight, take the L out to River Forest, 10 miles west of the lake. River Forest is a nice place. But some of the places we passed through on the L were not nice places. Head on a swivel. Don't be afraid of this nasty virus, or of any virus, or of anything. Go on living, but do keep your head on a swivel. That's what we can do. The bubonic plague was still around during Reformation times, and the bubonic plague, if you don't remember, had a mortality rate of about 30 to 60%. 30 to 60% of the people who got it died. It often wiped out entire villages. When it hit Wittenberg, Germany, the university closed, and Martin Luther did not ask, what would Jesus do? But instead, Martin Luther asked, what would you do if the sick person were Jesus? He says, "This I well know, that if it were Christ or his mother who were laid low by illness, everybody would gladly become a servant or helper. Everyone would want to be bold and fearless. Nobody would flee, but everyone would come running. If you wish to serve Christ and to wait on him very well, you have your sick neighbor close at hand. Go to him and serve him, and you will surely find Christ in him." Luther further notes that not all Christians are the same. The weak in faith are not to be judged for avoiding or even fleeing contagious illness. Pastors are to continue ministering to the flock, but he should not and cannot be Typhoid Mary, that is, spreading the disease to others. You want to talk about social distancing? I've been doing that for years. You probably didn't even notice. And I'm not afraid of this thing, but my head's on a swivel. And for me, I don't want you to think that I'm ever going to become a Typhoid Mary trying to avoid this thing, but I'm not going to get other people sick. Jesus said, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be manifest through him. We must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, darkness comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And then he spit on the ground, and he did what he did, and the man born blind could see. We've mentioned this before, pronouns mean something. And he speaks there of the Father who sent me, first person singular. And he says that we, first person plural, must do the works of God. And then he does what we would call an act of mercy for the man born blind. Later on, he died on the cross to take away our sins. He rose victorious on Easter Sunday. He ascended gloriously into heaven, and he left us behind to carry on the works of God in his stead. In the early church, when pestilence reared its ugly head, the Christians surprised the pagans. Rather than leave the sick and dying behind to fend for yourself, the Christians stayed with the sick to comfort them in body and soul. Even more surprising, when they were done with their own family, Christians, they went on to the pagan homes and did what they could for them, doing what Jesus called the works of God. In a way, you could say that for Christians, this is our time to shine with the light of Jesus, who is the light of the world, who has in holy baptism ignited that light in you and in his church. That Christian ethic that avoids the impulse to flee to safety and stays to help, we learn that from Jesus, who said, "We must work the works of him who has sent me. While it is day, darkness comes when no one can work." And what does that mean? It means that we are able, we have the ability to do those works of God now, but when we're gone, it'll be too late. So what can I do? Well, head on a swivel. Minister to the sick and dying like we always minister to the sick and dying. use your head, avoid the disease, don't spread the disease, and pray. If you haven't begun this already, then pray regularly for family, members of Emmanuel, our country, our leaders, and the world. Pray that we don't get sick. If we get sick, pray for healing. Miraculous healing is still in play, as well as the regular kind. If a loved one dies from this or anything else, thank God for the gift of eternal life for those who die in the faith. And then there's war. My Uncle Stan, my godfather, Sunday school teacher, often spoke about his brother Vernon, who was killed in the war. And his brother Vernon was not baptized. And I've been thinking about that as I read the book, Finish 40 and Home. It's about B-24 bomber crews in the Pacific during World War II. At the same time as Vernon Mantle was a tail gunner on a B-24 in that place, it all seems so random. And the author of the book notes that war is so random. An airplane takes off from the Koala Ranch, and it just explodes, and they don't know why. The next one takes off, rises up, dives into the sea, right off that beach we sent on a month ago, and everybody dies. It's so random, isn't it? Seems like it. And Joel Hink fell, and he hit his head, and he died. And it seems so random. Dan Bear goes out and shovels snow. Jack Peters goes out on the four-wheeler. And what if? The I-35 bridge in Minnesota. The coronavirus. That tower in Siloam. That riot in Jerusalem. It all seems so random. To us, it seems random. To God, the one who decides when you're going to die, to us, it seems very random. But to God, God is the one who decides when you're going to die, and that brings us great comfort to know that. We're all going to die. That's a given. And to know that our loving Father is going to decide when to take us to that heavenly home with that room just for you, that's comfort. But why then? Repent. And keep repenting because you don't know when he's going to call you home. But why sickness while we're here? Why sickness? So that the works of God might be manifest in you, either here or there. People get better from illness. Miraculous healing does happen. I've seen it with my own two eyes, but not always. Sometimes we pray for healing, and death comes all the same. In paradise, nobody will ever be blind. In paradise, nobody will ever be sick. In paradise, nobody will ever die again, or suffer, or fear. And the only craziness will be the good time, the good kind of craziness. In the meantime, while we're waiting, continue to pray. Continue to do the works of God and keep that head on a swivel. And Christians, this is our time to shine. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We pray. Almighty and most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love towards others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to Donald, our president, and the Congress of the United States, Kim, our governor, and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all the needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, air, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you, for by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his countenance and give you peace. Amen.